Hi, my name is John.
And my name's Chris.
And this is Stay on Target.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Stay on Target. We're your hosts. You can find us both on Twitter at ChrisWright250
and JohnWright777.
You can also find us online at Facebook.com/StayOnTargetPodcast, on Twitter at StayOnTargetPod, and always online at StayOnTargetPodcast.com. So, John.
So, Chris.
This week, what are we talking about?
We're actually going to talk about a different type of gaming and entertainment that we've never talked about before. It's board games.
Not bored as in I'm bored, but bored as in...
That is a common misconception, is that board games are boring.
That is a common misconception.
But they are not boring.
We are here to put that misconception to
death. To death. Whoa. Yikes, just going really far. Chris is just ready to put things to death over here.
I'm in a rage.
But yeah, so we're going to be talking about some of our favorite board games, and we were talking about earlier that it kind of includes like card games to a certain extent.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, like, yes.
Because there's some really, really awesome like games that I really wouldn't qualify as like, they don't have a board.
Right, so they're not really board games,
but
they're just as fun.
Yeah,
they're like
just
that.
As fun,
just,
yeah.
I guess we're talking about just physical games,
yeah.
Not video games.
Yeah, absolutely.
There you go.
But before that, we've got our Pick of the Week.
Pick of the Week! So, John, what's your pick of the week?
Man, this week I actually finally caught up on kind of the Batman series of comics.
Nice.
So it's Scott Snyder's run on that, and it's Batman the Zero Year.
Zero Year.
Uh-huh. Because there's back in the day, there's Batman Year One. It's one of my favorite graphic novels. In fact, I have two copies sitting over here, hardback and a soft cover.
Nice.
So I was kind of skeptical to begin with, but then as Scott's run on Batman has been just epic. Essentially, he's doing a great job on it.
Yeah. How many issues have there been so far?
Three or four.
And are they tying in the other Bat books?
Yes. Eventually everything will be kind of tied into that Zero Year. In fact, next month, they're doing kind of a villain month where they're coming out with, rather than Batman's comics, it's the Joker.
Nice.
So it's kind of a villain thing going in September here. I think that's this month. Yeah. So it's this month. And so, yeah, the Joker is going to be telling kind of a story from his past.
Nice.
Of his past, you know, thing. So it'll kind of tie into that, you know, origin story type of thing that they've got going on. But it's just told incredibly well. It's Batman at his core roots, you know, and a lot of the continuity things that we've talked about before, whenever the New 52 first came into existence, Scott has said, you know, obviously some of this stuff just doesn't work with the new continuity. He's like, so he's just kind of trying to put to rest kind of what this is, and he's not rehashing any old stories, so he's not, you know, telling a retelling of any of the other stories, but he's very much coming up with his, you know, his own, essentially mythology of the
where does
Batman.
This fit into is this possible because of the reboot with the New 52?
It is. That's the only reason it would be possible, essentially, because, you know, before you had this clearly defined Batman who was basically really far into his career and all of this stuff,
right?
Whereas now you're kind of looking at, okay, well, where did this new Batman begin and how did we get to this point so fast?
Right.
You know, because a lot of people are like, well, if he's only supposed to be 3 years in or 4 or 6 years into his career, how does he have a son, you know, and all this stuff? Mm-hmm. You know, how did that work out? And so I think we're kind of sort of addressing some of those issues.
Is Damian there?
No.
Okay.
This is just Batman. And it's Bruce whenever he first comes back from touring the world. In fact, for the first few issues here, everyone thinks Bruce is still dead, but the Batman is like... dealing with the Red Hood gang and stuff. That was kind of a spoiler,
wow.
So I should have announced
spoilers. Post-spoiler.
Gosh, I'm such a jerk. But anyway, so everybody should be picking it up. Everybody should pick it up. And if you don't do the whole monthly thing, make sure that this is on your list. It's going to last like 13 issues, or it's a pretty long run,
mm-hmm.
To like 12 or 13 issues. And then so make sure you pick up the graphic novel after the fact if you're into that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I would encourage you to go out and pick up the monthly, pick it up from your local comic shop for sure.
Cool. Awesome.
So, Chris, what is your pick this
week?
All right,
so my pick of the week is fantasy football.
This is interesting.
Yeah, because this is the first year I've ever done fantasy football.
Yeah.
And I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
In fact, we just spent the past 20 minutes, 30 minutes.
I was going over stats. This is the most I've ever looked at sports stats, like just sheets of stats in my life.
He was helping me draft. And I don't know. We'll see how it turns out. I'll probably just get creamed.
But right now you're hopeful.
Right now I'm hopeful.
And you're having fun.
I'm having fun. It was fun. It's like so far. I don't know. We'll see.
Pick your team, you know, make them go battle with each other.
But, you know, this is the week to do it because NFL starts this weekend.
Yeah, man.
And so if you're going to be part of a fantasy team, you should do it.
Yeah, I mean, there won't be a week without football for the next, like, majority of the next year from now, you know, so.
Yeah, until the spring.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting season for sure, and I want to see how you like team up against these other teams
and how I like it.
Yeah, and how you like it.
Yeah, I'll see. I mean, I'm really into, you know, like in the past few years I've really gotten into, you know, like March Madness brackets and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, and what I like about it is it gives you a dog in the fight. So I watch these games and I have somebody to root for. Otherwise, I just don't care.
Yeah.
And
well,
so,
you're like me then, you know, because it's like, man, why do I care about this?
Exactly.
I'm not playing.
So now I feel like I can watch these games and be like, I have a reason to pay attention to them and root for someone.
Makes sense.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
So everybody get out there and get your NFL draft on and you know,
and fantasize about it.
Okay, so on to the main course this time. We're about to indulge ourselves in some board games.
Yes. All right.
Some games you play on the tabletop as opposed to the controller.
Correct.
And some games you play on the tabletop as I don't even know where another place you play. Oh, or the basketball court or the football
field
and things.
There you go. Yes. I just envisioned playing board games on the basketball court.
Just sitting cross-legged,
yeah,
you know?
Like no, none of the basketballing. But
literally everyone's sitting on top of a basketball.
Exactly.
Just not using it.
Monopoly.
Yes.
Okay, so like we're probably not talking about those types of games.
We're not talking about Monopoly.
Yeah.
For
like,
sure.
Whenever we talk about board games, like I don't even know how to really describe it. Whenever I try to describe to people like the kind of types of board games that I play, like it takes a minute.
And it kind of blows their minds too, because I mean, you know, guys who haven't played these types of games don't know that they exist. So
right.
You know.
So, what we're talking about are, let's give some examples here. We're talking about, like, I guess we could start
the more entry level ones.
I was thinking we could both give our top five,
okay,
like board games, like okay, that we play. So, I just saw the look of panic.
Chris just threw me in the headlights.
Desperation.
Like, he just kind of like you know, just basically deer in the headlights moment right there for me. I was like, oh gosh, I gotta figure out my top five. I know my top one.
I don't think you have to necessarily have to rank them. Well, I guess we could rank them. Okay, so like
now you're just like making it more difficult. You were like, no, it's easier than you think it is, John. Actually, no way. I just decided it's not easier than you think it is.
Right. Okay, I'll start with my what I think is probably my number five.
Okay.
Is Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico. I've never played this one. You've played it.
Yeah.
I haven't played it. I haven't come over to your house and played it. So what is Puerto Rico like?
So Puerto Rico is basically this is not exactly how it is, but it's like you are in charge of producing different materials, and you use those materials to trade, and you like you try to get the most money at the end of the game. So it's basically a production type of game. You're farming. You take control of farms and upgrade the farms.
Okay.
You can have some defenses, I think, somehow. I can't remember exactly, but it's turn based.
Yeah.
Strategy. Not real time strategy.
Well, sort of real time, but it's turn based.
Yeah,
sure.
It's more like just production. It's definitely like, you know, right, it's not like you've got a guy on the board and you're walking around getting experience points. You're
right,
producing things. And
you're
so,
right. You know, it's definitely kind of one of those to me, the more entry level board games to me are like Catan.
Mm-hmm.
Catan is something that everyone kind of sees in Barnes and Noble,
right,
as you're walking through, and that's kind of the games
so
that
is
we're
this
talking
your number
about.
Five?
This is my number five. Is the Settlers of Catan is the name of it. You can buy it on all sorts of things. You can buy it on your iOS. You can buy it on Xbox. This was kind of the first breakout board game hit that became a, you know, kind of a thing where it was like these guys that I didn't expect to play board games know about Catan and play Catan.
And this is one of the first games that we played.
Yeah, it is. It is. It was, we actually played with one of the expansions, the Cities and Knights of Catan.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows you to play with more players, and it makes the board bigger and introduces some new rules and things like that. And it's definitely one of my favorite expansions to play with. Just the standard game mm-hmm. is really fun. You can rock it out in maybe 30, 40 minutes if you both know kind of the rules and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And or if you can play, I think, up to, you know, four players in that.
Uh-huh.
And you can do 5 to 6 in the Cities and Knights expansion.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, so basically, the Catan is it's a turn-based thing, but you have different things that you can do. You can build roads, you can add, like, do settlements, upgrade settlements to cities in the Cities and Knights expansion.
Mm-hmm.
You can, and so you get points for different things, like each road gives you...
You're producing things there, too.
Right, right.
But you use those to build.
To build, basically. And yeah, you basically, where you put your city is in between three different types of ground, you know, whether it's wheat or whether it's
different biomes.
Yeah, different biomes and sheep, you know, all these things. And then you get those resources every turn, and you can then turn them into more roads and things. And you get points for the longest road, the most settlements, the most cities, all these different things. So at the end of the game, you kind of tally it all up and go. You know,
there's a lot of strategy involved in that too.
Yeah.
It's interesting. You know, each game, the map is randomized every single time. And so, you know, no two games is alike at all.
Mm-mm. No, I mean, you could potentially make, you know, two games alike, but then you'd play it differently because you place your cities and settlements in different places. Right. So, yeah. Well, what's your number four?
My number four is Carcassonne.
Dude.
Yes.
See, I could just spoil.
Wait, no, I'm sorry. My number four is not Carcassonne.
What?
My number four is Bang.
Bang, okay. Yes. Yeah.
Sorry, I had to mix up like my head.
I like Bang.
For a second there. That's okay, awesome. So Bang. Bang is basically an Old West shooter.
It is. Okay? It's an Old West game. Shootout. I love playing it.
Yeah, so basically you get your character at the beginning of the game, and you're either a sheriff, a deputy, a renegade, or an outlaw. Mm-hmm.
And they have different rules. The sheriff is obviously out to kill all of the outlaws.
Uh-huh.
And the outlaws are obviously out to kill the sheriff.
Right. So if either one of those things happen, they win.
Mm-hmm. And the deputy is out to help the sheriff.
Protect the sheriff.
Yep, to protect the sheriff. And the renegade is the most interesting one. And there's only one of these guys in, you know, the standard game. And you're out to kill all of the outlaws and then the sheriff. Because you want to become the sheriff.
Yep. You want to be the sheriff.
Yeah.
And so... you're one of these people, and no one knows who you are.
Yeah, you don't know. You know,
sure when you die.
Well, and you know for sure if, like, you shot me. Obviously, you know, the sheriff is the only one that anybody knows.
Yeah,
who
yeah, but maybe.
And if
maybe.
I'm the sheriff and you shoot me, I know you're not my deputy.
Maybe. I don't know. I've had my deputy shoot me before.
Man, that's frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely
I've had my sheriff shoot me. I think you've been the sheriff before and shot me. And
probably because I didn't know you were my deputy.
Yeah. Anyway, so you have these different you've like life points as well, and each character
points,
you draw character cards, and each character has a different skill set.
Mm-hmm.
So like I might do more damage per hit. I might be able to shoot farther away. That sort
right,
of thing.
Right. Yeah, and so basically it just goes like that. You know, you can upgrade your character. Different expansion packs can add on different weapons, different...
the ghost town, you can come back to
life. Right, different game modifiers
minutes.
Is what I was trying to pull up. You know, like different things that just change things. Like you can't replenish any health this round or something like that, you know?
Yeah,
and
things
and,
that just spice it up a little bit.
Yeah. So what's your number four?
Man, I would say that's close to my number four. That is my number four. I'm going to just go ahead and we'll say that.
Both of our number four.
That's probably my number four as well. But I'll go ahead and go up to number three.
Okay.
And say it would probably be Power Grid. This is a relatively newer game to me. I've only played it a number of times, and I was talking to somebody the other night where it was like she played a little bit differently than I did. I don't know who's mm-hmm. right. I'm gonna have to reread the rules and figure out, you know, if I'm playing this correctly, because mm-hmm. I may not be. But it's a really fun game, and essentially what you're doing is you are a power tycoon, and you buy different power stations to power different cities. The power stations can be different types of it can be solar, wind power. You can have and those are the more, you know, beneficial ones, but they cost more right off the bat, essentially. You can do like coal. You can even do nuclear. Mm-hmm. And you can do trash powered as well. Trash powered is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially every round, you know, there are different phases. You can buy a new power plant every round. You can, you have to power, like give your power plants the fuel. So if it's a trash power plant, you have to go buy the resource of trash and throw that on top of your, you know, throw that into the flames.
You got to buy trash.
Yeah, you got to buy trash and put it. But trash gets relatively cheap easily, but then it gets really expensive really fast later on if multiple people have trash.
Mm.
And so that's kind of how it's played. It's not necessarily something where you can have just one strategy going. If somebody else has the same exact strategy as you know what? You're going to really both be hurting because the resources are very much limited. And so each turn, essentially, if somebody else is picking up the same resources as you and their whole table is picking up coal, mm-hmm. coal is going to get real expensive as it goes by. Mm-hmm. And so you may or may not make a bunch of money just because of that. Mm-hmm. But if you're the only person doing, you know, those, then go for that. Wind power and solar power, like I said, is obviously kind of what you're shooting for. If you can pick that up, then that's a good thing. So
cool. Awesome.
So what's your number three, Chris?
My number three. Let me check real fast. My number three is Carcassonne. That's my number three.
Okay.
And I assume it's going to rank higher on yours. Oh, yeah. On your list. It's my number three. I love that game. We'll wait until it comes up in your ranking to describe it.
Okay. Sounds good.
Cool.
I think my next one's going to be kind of the same way for you, though. My number two is Bonanza.
Yes. So, yeah.
That's B-O-H-N.
Okay.
Bonanza.
So, yes, that's going to be my, obviously, number one, since it's not going to be number two. So
okay. So what's your number two, then?
Okay, my number two is Ticket to Ride.
Ooh, Ticket to Ride. Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that one. That one probably, I should rearrange all these. I totally forgot that one. Okay, so keep going. Let's talk about Ticket to Ride, then. This would rank up in my upper five.
You are basically building train railways across a map. The original is across America.
And if you flip the board over, it's actually across Germany, correct?
I think so.
I want to say so. I want to say whenever you flip over the board, it's Germany.
And I can't remember if that first board has both maps in it.
I think it does.
And then there's been various expansion packs. And basically, you have train cars and you have tickets that you have to fulfill.
Man, I should have ranked this one way higher. Like, if you just scoot all mine down and put this one at number three, then that's good. So that would be my new ranking.
You have tickets you have to fulfill, and you build these railways across the United States. The cool thing about it is, you know, it's easy for a beginner to pick up and learn.
Yeah.
And then the expansion packs / other versions of it get
more complicated.
Way more complex.
You know,
we just played a new one this past
weekend.
And it was Ticket to Ride Asia.
It was really fun.
Yeah, it's you're on teams.
Yeah, me and you were on team together.
And,
but you can't really communicate about anything together. So essentially you're playing separately, but you're playing kind of conjointly because you want to be filling out the same routes. Like, it's both of your responsibility to fill out these routes and everything.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it was wild. It was a lot of, like, you had to kind of just trust that your partner knew what you were talking about and knew what you were thinking.
Yeah.
And kind of work together. It was really cool.
Yeah.
But I really like Ticket to Ride. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and so basically this is a game about, you know, filling out tickets. And so you pull out these tickets and it gives you a route. It says, get from this city to this city.
Yeah, Chicago to Dallas.
Right, and each turn you can either place trains, pull out cards in order to place more trains later on, or pull more tickets.
Right.
So essentially, you know, this like you said, it's very simple. You only have three options off the bat.
Yeah.
But it's very, very stressful because you've only got one thing you can do each turn. And so if I'm sitting here collecting trains trying to fill out my route and you're like getting close to where I want to go, I'm just sweating it over here like, oh my gosh, I better get to this route before he does, that sort of thing.
Right.
So there's some elements of tension and definitely some strategy whenever somebody claims a route that throws a monkey wrench in all of your plans.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That sort of thing. So
yeah, it's very, like, you have to be on your toes and you can plan ahead, but don't get too far planned ahead.
Right. You gotta start building at some point. So
okay, so that was my number two. What was your number two?
Didn't we already say?
Bonanza? That was your number two.
That was the one number two.
Okay, so.
So Ticket to Ride would technically be number three, though, or four.
We're just confusing everyone right now.
I don't know. I should have put that one way up there. So
it's one of my favorites. What's your number one?
My number one is Carcassonne. You mentioned it as your number three. And Carcassonne is a game, and this is all about, like, the table is blank whenever you set it. So it's not a traditional board game. It doesn't, not like you unfold the board and then you start playing on it. You essentially build the board as you go. And so what you do is each turn you reach into a bag or a castle, as I have, or the box, you know, and you pull out 1-inch by 1-inch little tiles. And it's essentially a map piece. And it has a castle, a field, or a road on it, or a cloister. So that's a monastery or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can use your little men. You've got like 8 little men, and you can claim them at any time. And each thing, if you close it, gets you. So you say you close a castle, it gets you a certain number of points.
Nice.
And so as you go around the table, you each, you know, try to get into each other's castles and things. If they're, you know, if I have a massive castle, you obviously want to get into it. So you try to put your piece in such a way as you can connect your castle and my castle and right. share those points.
You get points by either. Yeah. Did you say that?
Whenever completely? You close. Yeah. Whenever you close a castle, you get points for that. Whenever you close a road, you get points for that. And then whenever you're laying in a field
connected to finished castles,
you get a certain number of points per castle. Right. These guys lay in the field the whole game though. So if you throw out all eight of your guys into a field, chances are by the end of the game, you're going to lose. Right. You know?
But, the thing I like about this game is you definitely have to take a short-term strategy whenever you're building like roads right. and castles, but also a long-term strategy whenever you're placing out your men in fields. Right. And that was the balance that it took me a minute to, you know, be able to strike whenever I was playing it.
Right.
Talk about the expansion pack. There's a lot of different expansion packs.
There's so many expansion packs.
They change the game drastically. Some of them do.
Yeah, there are some that are interesting, like the Princess and the Dragon, and those change the game where you can, you know, if somebody's in a massive castle and you pull a princess piece, the princess can kick that person out of that castle. It's not like you can claim it that turn, but at least it opens the castle, and so that person isn't in there anymore.
Yeah.
And so then the other one is there's the dragon, and so if you get a volcano, the dragon sits on the volcano, and then if you get a dragon piece, the dragon comes and just destroys everything in its path, knocks everybody off the board. And as the dragon works is each person moves the dragon one move until it's moved like eight turns or something like right. that. So basically these modifiers that they change the game in such a way as to make it harder and more complex for some players.
Right.
And then other ways, you know, some of them are more malicious than others, like the tower, and you can take guys, you know, you know the guys you're playing against. You can take their men captive.
Yeah, it's just like us. Yeah, and then you have to. How do you get them back?
You have to take one of their guys captive and trade. You know, it's so it's like prisoner trade. You know, that sort of thing. So
POWs.
I mean, yeah, it's seriously, it's just, and that one's really malicious. And I don't know. I always limit that one extremely, like where you only can do that like three or four times. And right. so it's just kind of malicious. But at this point, I have over, you know, I don't know. I want to say I have about seven or eight expansions. Right. And so, you know, between...
They each come with more tiles.
Yeah, they each come with more tiles. And the main reason that I get these expansions is some of them I knew that I wasn't going to end up using the necessarily the rules, that the new rules that they would put in place or the modifiers they would put in place.
Right.
But I knew I just wanted the pieces to make the game bigger and longer. And it essentially, it gives you more of opportunity to close things as the game progresses.
Yeah. Well, and it's a cool kind of collectible thing too. You have some right. super rare pieces.
Yeah, yeah. I have some that I actually had to do some major searching for that were only released in a board game magazine in Germany, where I had to find someone online that had a copy of it that they were willing to
12
sell.
Pieces.
It was like 12 pieces that were distinct pieces, never released, you know, in any other way, shape, or form, in any other expansion pack. And so I had, you know, I just found somebody that had them and I bought them, you know, and then they shipped them over and bought it in euros and, you know, probably outrageously expensive, but it was for sure worth it.
Yeah, yeah,
you know. For sure. Just for the fact that, you know, even though, you know, a lot of the people that I know have the game or whatever, you know, I'm the only one that has that expansion pack in particular. And I'm probably the only one that has the majority of these expansion packs. Let's just be honest. So right.
yeah. Not in the world.
No, not in the world.
Just among our friends.
Just among our friends. You know, I essentially, if anybody is going to bring that game to a party and play it, it's going to be me, because they all know that, you know, John's dropped a lot of cash on this game and there's a lot of expansions that he has. So.
Right.
All right, so let's go ahead and just talk about your number one. We've talked about mine. Mine's Carcassonne. Yeah. Yours is?
Mine is Bonanza.
Bonanza.
And I was surprised this didn't even rank on yours.
No, I put it on mine.
What? Oh, yes, you did.
It was number three. We didn't talk about
it. You just smacked me. Dude. Because I just spoke blasphemy into the microphone.
Listen, it's okay. It's okay. But this is, again, it's B-O-H-N and yes. Anza afterwards. But this is a bean trading game. Yeah,
you're a bean farmer. You basically, like, the more beans of a certain kind you grow, you can sell them and you get coins for them. So the point of the game is to end up with the most coins.
There's chili beans.
Yes, chili beans, coffee beans, black beans,
green beans,
stink beans.
Yeah, there's all sorts of them. but yeah, so black-eyed beans.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's a game where you have a certain number of fields, two fields.
Yeah, you start with two fields and you plant mm-hmm. Basically, you go through different rounds. You basically go through a round of you plant and what you have in your hand, and you have to keep them in order.
Yeah.
and then you flip out a couple of beans, and then you have to like
trade them with people,
or you have to take them yourself and plant them in your fields.
Yeah,
and so it's really all about like trading. Like, there's more trading in this game than planting. Planting is the way you get points, but the only way you can keep anything in your field very long at all is by trading with people.
Right.
And so there can be some behind the scenes haggling, you know, I'll give you this for 5 beans.
I'll mow your lawn. Yeah. That sort of thing. Yeah,
yes. I mean, there's nothing in the rules says you can't. So, or if you just want to give somebody a bean to get it out of your hand
just
and they
like
want
slide it,
or it
their
like
way,
just,
you know?
Just black market bean trading.
That sort of thing. Yeah, for sure. You know, and this is a game, like I said, ranked number 3 on mine. It's a game that I love because of the conversation stuff. Whereas the same as sort of like Carcassonne, where it's like you're engrossed in the game, but you can still have conversation and things around it that are based around the game, you know, where it's all about, you know, with Carcassonne, it's all about, hey, where do I put this piece? And everybody kind of gives their input of where you should put the piece.
Right.
Where in this game, it's like, whenever you flip out those cards, it's like, hey, I'll take your chili beans.
Yes.
I'll take those.
You know, you don't want those.
Yeah. You know, you want to give those to me. And it's like, you're always trying to get, you know, give them things that you don't want and try to get the things that you do. And so behind the scenes, if you have nothing to give them, you're just kind of like, you should just slide that over here. You know?
Right.
And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And I mean, you get gold coins for harvesting certain types, and at the end of the game, whoever has the most gold coins wins.
Correct.
So,
and it's, again, it's a game not necessarily of skill. It is, but like
it is.
Brand new people to the game can win whenever they're playing against a seasoned veteran of Bonanza.
Oh yeah.
You know, so.
Well, and also, you know, you kind of, as you play with people, sometimes, you know, the people that you know, that typically win or something like that, you could just not, you know, play harder against them and that sort of thing. So it's like, you know, if you're new to a game, it doesn't necessarily mean that people are going to, you know, they're going to underestimate you essentially.
Right.
And you're going to end up winning sometimes.
So let's talk for a minute about some of the digital versions of these games.
Yeah, because there's quite a few. There's Ticket to Ride. You and I play Ticket to Ride on our phones.
On iOS.
On iOS, yes. And that's really fun. It's kind of a more casual, like slower game where it's like, you're not sitting there going, oh,
you're going to do this over days rather than an hour.
Right. And then Carcassonne also has an app on mine. I play that all the time.
Yeah.
And it's, I want to say it lends itself more so than Ticket to Ride even, lends itself to the touch screen thing. Mm-hmm. Just because you know, drawing pieces out of a bag and then placing it in the right place. So it's easy just to, you know, drag and drop on your screen.
Right.
And placement and that sort of thing. It's just very intuitive the way it's designed. And I haven't played Catan on the phone or anything.
Right. I've played a little bit of it on Xbox. And for my tastes, it was
not as exciting.
No, because a lot of that game, you know, is the people that you're playing with.
Yeah.
And it didn't really scratch that itch for me for some reason.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of one of those things as well with me where, I don't know, did that one have rolling dice and stuff?
Yes.
And so for my money, whenever I'm rolling digital dice, it just doesn't work for me. Because like whenever you're actually holding it, you feel like you have some manner of control.
Right, even though it's all up to chance.
But it's all up to chance. But you feel like if you just roll these the right way, it's the reason that craps is always, you know, is a big thing in like casinos and stuff. It's because people feel like they have some control over it.
Right.
Which is not true. You know, they don't have control over how the dice roll and stuff.
Right.
But it's just kind of one of those things that you feel like you have a little bit more control as opposed to just some computer algorithm that you click
deciding
roll.
For you.
Yeah, it just kind of goes, oh, is he gonna, you know, feel like if you get cheated every couple of times, it's like, oh, that algorithm is just screwing me, you know,
right, that sort of thing.
So,
well, cool. Well, that's our top five-ish
games. I think I had 6 on there if you really counted it up.
Well, and then altogether it was not 10, but it was
maybe like 8 or 9.
I don't know. But you should definitely check those out. You know, like if you're interested in board games, if you're interested at all in things beyond, you know, like Monopoly and Sorry and just those games. I mean, those are fun. But
those are good games.
Those aren't something that like I would, you know,
spend a lot of time playing, you know, right. And would continuously go back to.
These are a lot more engrossing, a lot more fun to play, especially with friends.
Yeah, and then if you ever get bored of one, just grab an expansion pack. Those really go a long way to increasing the life of a game.
They're not that expensive, honestly. You know, like if you're talking about, you know, comparing it to like a video game or something like that, you know, the most expensive these board games get are $40 for like a base game or something like that.
And if you think about, you know, if you think about the hours of enjoyment that goes into it, you know, even like movies, I always compare things to movies. You drop like $15 on a movie sometimes
for,
you know,
an hour and a half,
for an hour and a half of 2 hours, and you know, maybe 3 hours if you include the drive there, which is really fun.
That's a long way to see a movie.
That's a really long way. You're right. Okay. So, you know, it's essentially, you know, you're paying quite a bit there. Whereas this, if you play it, you know, a couple of times, you've gotten your money's worth by the movie
standard.
And
you'll play it way more than a couple times.
Oh yeah. You'll play it more than that. So it's something that you definitely should check out. Definitely try it out. And if you want, you can download the apps to some of these games just to get a taste for them, like Carcassonne or Ticket to Ride.
$5
or spend $10 for you and your friends to get it.
Right.
And play them together, that sort of thing. So, you know, it's kind of one of those things that you can easily get into the board game world.
Right.
For a relatively low cost of admission.
All right, so that's our show.
That's our show.
Make sure you check us out on facebook.com/stayontargetpodcast, on Twitter at stayontargetpod, and always online at stayontargetpodcast.com. You can find me on Twitter at chriswright250.
And me on Twitter at johnwright777.
So we'll see you next time on Stay on Target.